Nerd Talk Plus.
Salutations, Internet, and welcome to Nerd Talk Plus. I'm Paige.
And I'm Zach.
And this is our little podcast where we just sit together and talk about video games.
Yeah, we're doing it a little differently this time, though. We're online.
Yeah, well, I mean, the podcast itself is already online, but we're in...
You know what I mean.
Yeah, we personally are in a Discord call because we have to practice social distancing and isolation. So if the quality of our mics sounds a little weird right now, that's why, because I'm using my mic and he is using his headset to record separately, and we're on a call on Discord, so this is a different experience, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It just means a little more editing for me, really.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, and just maybe our conversations will sound a little weird since we have to wait for each other to catch up with, like, the lag and stuff like that, but...
Yeah. I think I can hear you just fine, Zach, but I think sometimes you, like... take a moment to hear what I've said, so that'll be evident, I think, as we are talking further.
Yeah, the recording like waves, I guess. I don't know what the actual term for them are, but they'll be pretty quiet for sometimes.
Yeah. All right. So first up, one of the topics we have to talk about, I mean, essentially the overarching topic of this podcast episode, Nerd Talk Plus episode, is the recent mini Nintendo Direct that just happened, where we got information about a handful of games, some stuff that's coming out, and we got some information on some new information on things we already knew about, and then got new info about new games that are coming to the Switch or being ported to it. Sorry, my train of thought, like, completely derailed for a second. So, I know one of the biggest things, I'm not particularly excited about it, but I know you and a couple of our friends are, Zach, for the Xenoblade Chronicles HD remaster that's coming, yes, to Switch, which I think is just next month.
May 29th, I think.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
I think
or 25th,
so.
Somewhere in there. But yeah, I'm super, super excited because I've played and beaten the original Xenoblade. It actually just, like, I think about 2 years ago, because I actually played Xenoblade 2. Xenoblade 2 was actually my first Xenoblade game, and I really enjoyed it. And
on that second part, though.
Technically speaking, my very first exposure to Xenoblade was in Smash 4 through Shulk. And, you know, I thought he was really cool with, like, being able to change his attributes and stuff through the Monado Arts. And then I saw Xenoblade 2 was out, and I'm like, well, I really like Shulk. And so I guess I'll try out this game, even though it has nothing to do with him. And I really enjoyed it. And then I was like, you know what? I feel like playing Xenoblade 1 because I really like Shulk and, like, his character, and, like, I really enjoyed Xenoblade 2's gameplay, so I wanted to see what it felt like, and it was really enjoyable. Obviously, being on the Wii, its graphics looked pretty rough, pretty much my only, complaint.
Oh, I thought you played it
on 3DS. No. That's really rough from what I've heard, but I played on, technically I played on the Wii U through a Virtual Console.
Oh, okay. I thought had played it on the 3DS.
No, I think Tommy did, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I really enjoy the gameplay. The story is really, really good. The characters are all really, really good. I enjoy, like, everyone in the party, like, your RPG party in the game. Mm-hmm.
With, what's her name? Melia?
Melia.
Melia's best girl.
Melia is really
That's
very,
all
very
I know
good character.
Is Melia is best girl.
She's a very, very good character. She has probably, aside from Shulk, she probably has the best backstory out of the party.
She also has very fun hair to draw, because I drew a picture of her for your birthday.
Yes. I have all of your posters and stuff hung up in my room now. It's one of the first things I did when we got back home. But, it was really enjoyable. I can't remember what game was coming out, but, like, I played Xenoblade 1, but a game was coming out in like a few weeks, and I knew I was going to probably hyper-focus on it, because that's what I do with new games. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go through the main story. Well, at first I was going to take like the traditional...
God of War games?
It might have been.
I feel like that was what was coming up for you at that time, but I also think you played Xenoblade Chronicles, like, I don't remember if you played it over the summer or over winter break.
It was over summer because we brought it, because I bought it, and then my parents were like, hey, let's go camping. I'm like, because we're allowed to bring a console camping because we go in a camper, and sometimes the days like get rainy or something. So I was like, you know what, Xenoblade 1's obviously not a multiplayer anything game. I can play it when we're not doing stuff while camping. And so I brought it to the camper and played it. But usually when I with the RPGs, I try to do as many side quests as I can while also progressing the main story at the same time. With Xenoblade 1, it's probably my other complaint with the game. A lot of the quests are pretty bare bones, like kill X, collect X. And so I was like, you know what, I can just go through the main story.
Yeah, you're definitely a bit of a completionist type of person when it comes to a lot of games.
Yeah.
Like you have much more patience to, or I guess more of a focus to get through games like that and finish the side quests. I'm definitely more like, I'm playing for the story and pretty much mostly that. Like, there's definitely games where I absolutely adore the gameplay. Like, in Octopath Traveler and Tokyo Mirage Sessions, I love the gameplay of those, but I'm mostly playing them for the story, because you know, the story of RPGs is one of the biggest appeals, and having good combat is just honestly something that is to help keep the player hooked. But also I'm like, if I have to go too far out of my way to do a side quest, I'm one of those people where I'm like, I'm not really gonna do it, because I'm not a completionist type of person. And I don't want to frustrate myself, like, spending hours on side quests.
Yeah.
I think the only game I do that in is, like, Skyrim. Because I feel like that's a big part of the Skyrim experience, is just getting consistently sidetracked by side quests.
Oh, definitely. But yeah, with Xenoblade 1, there's really only, like, one or two quest lines. There's one whole like thing where you basically rebuild a colony, and I actually didn't get around to doing that, but I heard you really should, so I'm definitely gonna do that in the remake. I'm gonna try to do all the side quests in the remake, even if they're like not so great. But yeah, I just kind of went through the main story. Ended up having to grind a few times because I was underleveled from not doing the side quests, some side quests. But that wasn't too bad. But I really, really enjoyed it. The music, the soundtrack is absolutely outstanding. One of the best video game soundtracks I've ever heard. Really, combat's really fun. I really enjoyed it. It's more difficult, but less confusing than Xenoblade 2, in my opinion. At least for when you're starting out. So, like, it's pretty obvious what does what and how to get through, how to use those abilities correctly. Whereas Xenoblade 2, if you don't know how, like, the whole special attack system works, it can get kind of confusing. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. There's a new chapter epilogue thing that's going to be with the game as well that centers more around Shulk and Melia. And based on the rifts and stuff that appear, I have a feeling it may tie into Xenoblade 2 somehow. So that'll be really cool if that happens.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be really cool to see everything. They're remaking, I don't know if remake or remaster is the right word, but they're remastering the soundtrack. So it sounds even better now from the little snippets we've heard, so that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it. It'll be really enjoyable. But, I heard you were talking to me about being excited for Catherine coming out on Switch.
They're porting Catherine Full Body to the Nintendo Switch, which, for one thing, I'm kind of surprised, because Catherine and Persona are both, like, Atlus is the company that they're under. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm kind of surprised that they're porting Catherine to the Switch, but not Persona 5. And I think part of it I get because, like, Catherine Full Body is already the, like, remake of the original Catherine, And so, like, that already came out on, I think, PS4 and stuff. Like, that generation of consoles. So, like, I don't think they would port it again to, like, the PS5 and the Xbox Obelisk. I forget what it's called.
Xbox Series X.
Yeah, that's what it is. I knew it had something. I knew it was, like, really similar to 1X, so I was, like, blanking on it.
I literally keep forgetting that's the name. I always, when someone talks about it, I'm like, oh, that's the Xbox, like a fancy Xbox One. I'm like, no, that's the new console.
Yeah.
I always forget.
But yeah, with, like, I don't think they're going to port those, I don't think they're going to port Catherine to those consoles. Like, I think there's going to be backwards compatibility still for, like, PS4 stuff, at least on the PlayStation console. So people will probably still be able to play it on there if they want, but, so I guess porting it to the Switch is a pretty good idea, since Atlus, it seems to be building more of a relationship with Nintendo, so to speak, because there is the Persona 5 Scramble that's going to be on the Switch, and then Persona 5 Royale just came out. So, like, part of me is, like, I still kind of wish they would put Persona 5 on the Switch, even if it was just, like, a port of the original one and not Royale, because I'm, like, there's a lot of potential there, and, like, the Switch is a really good console for people like me, in my opinion, who really like to play RPGs, because I can sit down and play it for a while and then just, like, kind of pause wherever I want for a bit by putting it into sleep mode and then come back to it later, and I can take it places with me, because, like, I'm in that weird, like, specific niche of people where I love playing RPGs, but I can't sit playing a game on a TV for very long unless I'm, like, really wanting to play that specific game, because I have to multitask and be able to move around and do things. Like, switch between different things. But I'm really excited for Catherine Full Body to be on the Switch, because it's the full remake of the original game, so it has all three of the Catherines, so Catherine with a K, Catherine with a C, who were in the original game, and then Rin, who got added in Full Body. And I've never played Catherine before, but I have watched gameplay of it before, and I've watched the cutscene movie, because I really like the style of the animation and everything and how it looks. So, I'm excited for it to come out on Switch. I think it's coming out in July, and I'm excited to get it and be able to buy it and play Catherine for the first time myself and experience this, like, puzzle platformer. And I think it's also better that now I'm able to play it, because it is more adult themed as well, obviously. So I'm glad I waited until now to play it, because also I feel like if I tried it when I was younger, I would just get too frustrated by the puzzle aspect of it and not be able to progress. But now that I'm older and looking at it, I think that I would actually find it genuinely entertaining and fun to play. And I know it, and I don't know how the story in Full Body changes, but I know the original story of Catherine, I thought it was really cool and interesting. Like, it's got pretty cool twists and, like, ways, like, lore in it, I guess, for lack of a better term, but it looks very fun, and I'm excited for that.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I think, just to keep on the theme of Nintendo stuff, I'm looking at the little list we've made of things to talk about, and I put, like, Monster Hunter with a question mark next to it, but I feel like that's very out of place with talking about Nintendo stuff, especially in the middle of talking about the Mini Direct. So let's, for now, move on over to the kind of announcement for the next DLC Smash character.
Yep.
Which is going to be a character from ARMS, which, to start this off, I think one of the funniest reactions I saw from somebody to that announcement was them basically saying it felt like Nintendo forgot that ARMS was a thing and was like, oh yeah, we should probably put one of these characters into Smash.
Oh, I 100%, like, after that announcement, well, I guess it kind of started before that, but, like, they announced, like, an ARMS, like, tournament kind of out of nowhere before that Direct, and then they started, and then, obviously, the character announcement, and now, all of a sudden, there's just a bunch of ARMS, like, announcements and events going on. I have a strong feeling they're going to announce, like, ARMS 2 or something.
Yeah, that's maybe what a lot of people have been saying as well, because they're like, this game has been out so long, there's no reason to really promote it now. Because I think also with that tournament, I think they're doing another, if I remember right, I think they're doing another global test punch, as it's called, where it's essentially like that timed free demo that you can play, where you can get on, play the game, and then like play with others online, which I played the last one that they had. And ARMS is one of those games where it's not really my cup of tea for a fighting game. It is really cool for a fighting game, and it is kind of fun to play, but it's not something that I personally really want to take the time to sit and figure out. But I really like the character design.
Yeah, the character design's pretty good.
Yeah, and I like seeing the speculation for who is going to be the fighter that they pick from ARMS. And honestly, my top two characters for that would be, like, Ribbon Girl or the Noodle Girl. I can't remember her name right now. But she's, Noodle, like, Girl. Her family owns a ramen shop. And she's very cute.
Yeah, the way they announced it was kind of weird. They're just kind of like, yeah, the next fighter will be an ARMS character, and you'll know which one in the summer. And we're like, okay, thank you, I guess.
Well, okay, so I guess to build on that speculation then too, since they're so vague with it, and like that sudden promotion and stuff, I guess my official prediction on this is that it's going to be, they're going to simultaneously announce who the fighter is and also announce ARMS 2, and it's going to be a character that's prominent in ARMS 2.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
But I also have a feeling it's going to be a thing where it's like a character that's also from the original game, but they get like an upgrade or something, or an update to their design.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Yeah. So I think maybe like Spring Man or Ribbon Girl would be good candidates for that.
Spring Man's an interesting,
because also is it Spring Man, he's an assist trophy. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, if it
maybe
is Spring Man,
more towards Ribbon Girl.
That would, yeah. If Spring Man does get in, that would leave like a very interesting, because like basically most people assume like if the character's assist trophy, they're kind of like they're not going to become characters. But if Spring Man breaks that rule, that'll kind of open the gates, I guess. Yeah. To which fighters can become, or which assist trophies can become fighters. So
yeah, and I know like I keep saying Ribbon Girl, but part of that is just because of she's one of the few characters that I know as someone who doesn't really know ARMS, and her and Spring Man are like the two characters where they're like, these are the characters that kind of represent this game.
Yeah,
and a lot of people really like Ribbon Girl too. Like she's really, I think canonically in game, if I remember what little I do about ARMS lore, she's like an idol as well. I would say her or I can't remember her name, but there's also a girl who she fights with her hair instead, like her hair is her fists.
Twintel, right?
Yes. Twintel. So I think either Ribbon Girl or Twintel would be the best candidates in my opinion, because as somebody who doesn't play ARMS, doesn't really know about it, Springman, Ribbon Girl, and Twintel are the most, and the Noodle Girl, like those are the most popular characters that I usually see people drawing and seeing.
Yeah.
And so those would be the ones to kind of, I feel like, pull in people the most into ARMS if they were to put them into Smash.
And I know also they did like a popularity poll or something a while ago, about with her arms character, which one's the favorite. And I guess I can't remember her actual name, but is the girl a girl that like dress has like clown makeup? She ended up winning that poll.
Oh yeah.
She's
kind of cute too. I've seen. I know she was a character who was added in later on as well, but she looks pretty interesting. But yeah, I still think overall Ribbon Girl would have the highest chance of getting in because she's one where she was like a staple in ARMS from the beginning and would have a high chance of being in ARMS 2 with like an updated design and being a good representative for the game because she's also her and Springman are kind of like the Ryu and Ken of ARMS, yeah, to put it like that kind of trope where they're like the characters who are, you know, the most neutral looking out of everybody, but they're also the ones that like people will look at them and immediately recognize what they're from.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you wouldn't immediately recognize what an ARMS character is from, but like their designs are so clearly in a way where it's like, oh yeah, that's ARMS, where it's like, I think if you saw like the mummy man or the dude who has chain arms, you might not immediately realize them if like what they're from if you don't like if you haven't actually looked into the game before.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so I guess the next thing to talk about could talk about Animal Crossing a little bit.
The dreaded Easter Bunny.
Everybody's so mean to Zipper, but I'll be honest, Zipper T Bunny, he kind of creeps me out. There's just something about his face that feels a little uncanny.
It feels really similar to like an animatronic face, in my opinion. And I think it's like, obviously Five Nights at Freddy's and stuff like that has gotten us a not so comfortable feeling with those kind of looks.
Yeah, it's also a thing of where it's like he's so clearly in a suit. And, like, the game makes itself self-aware about that. So, like, if you go to talk to him to where his back shows to you and you can see the zipper, he, like, gets mad at you. And that's very just weird that he gets so mad. Because it's, like, no one knows who Zipper T Bunny is, like, under the suit. And he's, like, the only like recurring character that's like that. Nobody else is like a suit. It's just the bunny.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Bunny Day stuff in Animal Crossing New Horizons. The eggs everywhere. Like personally, I think the Bunny Day stuff, all of the little crafts that you can make are pretty nice, but it's also a thing of like since it's going on until the 12th, I'm like kind of getting tired of waiting to find recipes. Like I feel like it could have been done in a way where it's like I could get recipes a little more consistently rather than having all these freaking eggs and nothing to do with them because I have to wait until I get the next recipe to make anything. And so then it's also like I also kind of wish that so like when you use the Nook Miles tickets, it takes you to just a random generated island, the Bunny Day stuff can still pop up there. Like, you can still get the eggs from fishing and getting materials there, and I kind of wish they hadn't done that. Like, maybe left those islands out of the Bunny Day stuff, because I'm like, I can get enough eggs on my own home island. I want to go and actually catch fish. Like, I went to an island, tried to catch 3 different fish, and all I caught were eggs. And I'm like, I don't need more water eggs. I have enough.
I heard that was like the main complaint, is that it kind of ruined fishing at the moment because you just get eggs all the time now.
Yeah, and like one of the biggest things is like I think snapping turtles are in season for people to catch now. So it's like I keep looking at the little ponds and I'm like, ah, yes, I really want to catch a snapping turtle, and then it's another egg. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't need more water eggs, please. I have so many. And then, like, also them coming out of the rocks and trees and stuff. And it's so many. And I feel like there's not a good enough balance between getting the eggs and getting the recipes to sort of I guess, make it feel more fun. Because also, it's like, I know it's going on until the 12th, so there's still time for me to get more of the recipes. But I'm also like, eh.
Yeah.
Then I'm just going to have all these extra eggs sitting around, and I'm going to have to, like, either have my character eat them or just throw them away. Like, I made a little outdoor crafting area for myself because I got inspired from seeing what somebody else had done, because I was getting tired of having to go in and out of my house to get items for crafting. So there's just a bunch of stuff kind of lying on the ground outside near a crafting station. And, like, there's a big chunk of this little area that I have for my materials that is just eggs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have like 30 earth or stone eggs, and I'm like, this is too many eggs.
Too many.
But
I think they said, I don't know if they've implemented the patch yet, but I think they said they're going to patch the egg rate to be lower.
Yeah, I think that's something that would make it a little better and make them feel more exciting, because it's like, I felt like the eggs were more rare in the New Leaf Bunny Day stuff in Animal Crossing New Leaf, which that made it more exciting, because also it was different to where it was like you had to find the different eggs to have Zipper give you the different furniture, but in this game you're crafting it. But it also feels like I'm getting so many eggs compared to, like, more eggs than recipes that I am able to make with them, so I just have a bunch of eggs sitting around that I am doing absolutely nothing with.
Yeah.
And then another event that is going on at the same time is the Cherry Blossom event.
I've seen stuff on Twitter about that.
Yeah, there's all of the Sakura themed stuff. I have a couple of recipes that I've gotten for it. One of them is a pond stone and then also a pile of petals. And one of my friends got the recipe for the little bag, so I sent them the materials so they could make it for my character, because it's very cute. It's just the little cherry blossom flower in the shape of as a bag. And that stuff, too, I think that's another thing that people are kind of wanting as well. It's that the Bunny Day interferes with for us, where it's like, yeah, we want all these cute, like, springtime things, the Sakura things, but it's overrun by the Bunny Day stuff, because it's like the Bunny Day balloons spawn more often than regular balloons. And
right.
So far, the only way I have found recipes for the Sakura petals is through balloons. But since there's so many Bunny Day balloons, I feel like I'm seeing way less regular balloons where I would have the potential to get the cherry blossom recipes.
Yeah.
Which that's more of what I want. While I do like the egg stuff, the Bunny Day stuff, it's very cute. It's not something I'm gonna keep in my house like year round in Animal Crossing. I want to be able to have the cherry blossom stuff so I can have that, like, be a nice aesthetic in a room or something.
Yeah.
And then another thing is I am finally amongst the people who I have unlocked the landscaping terraforming stuff.
Yes.
Which I'm so happy to have it now. I kind of grinded for miles so I could have both the cliff and waterscaping stuff at the same time, because when you first get it, it just gives you, like, the basic path that you can make. But I'm like, I want to be able to mess around with the water in my town and also cliffs, because I want my house up on the hill that it's on to have a bigger yard. So I'm very glad to finally have that, and now I can move my rivers around and stuff, make a spot for my orchard so I can move that. Essentially, my plan is I'm going to have a bunch of stuff, like, right on the back of my island. Like, I'm just going to have a big cliff taking over the back of my island that's gonna have my orchard on it, and then like flowered patches, and like a little like a yard with my house.
Should be nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited to add more to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I've just started doing that in my town to sort of add to things, and then I can start actually figuring out where I want to put ramps, because I want to have ramps leading up to my house in the game, and then plan out the residential area, I guess, for my animals, so I can finally move them around so they're not all in a really weird, awkward, cramped area like some of the houses are. I have like a handful of the houses running along the river in the middle of my island, and then there's like three houses all right next to each other, and it feels very crowded because I didn't know where else to put them because I didn't want to spread them out too much.
And then there's that one guy that has a super basic house by the river.
Yeah, your house. Which also, when people come to visit my island, they keep thinking that's my house, and they're like, oh, you have mail, you should check it. And I'm like, that's not my house, guys. I'm like, my house is varied. First of all, my house was like over by the ocean at first, on that little what is it? There's like a little piece of land that sticks out past the beach, and that's where I initially put my house, and then once I was able to move it, I moved it to the back of my island now. But since it's the first house that they see, they're like, oh, you have mail, and I'm like, that's not my house. My house. I think people would know now that if they came in and saw it, because it's like, since I've been playing for a while, I'm like, yeah, my house has a lot of stuff in it, and also a customized exterior now that I've updated.
Have all this stuff, but have the most basic house.
Yeah. It'd be a very cramped house. It's also very funny to walk in, because since you've only played once, and like when you upgrade a room, the items stay where they were before the upgrade, obviously. So
right.
All the furniture that's in your house on my game is where it was in your tent. So it's like there's a...
Just in the middle of a room.
Yeah, it's just the stuff in the middle of the room in this little house. Because, like, obviously you haven't been back to play more Animal Crossing, so you can't move the furniture around.
But, I don't know what you're talking about. My interior decorating is amazing. That's exactly how I have it in real life. Interior
decorating? It's a cot. It looks great. And a hermit crab.
I have a...
a sea butterfly, too.
Sea butterfly, yeah.
You have a hermit crab, a sea butterfly, a cot, I think a cardboard box, and a Nintendo Switch, and a lamp, and a radio, and that's it.
That's all I need.
That's in your house.
That's all I need. That's fancy living.
Meanwhile, I have a fully upgraded house where there's a main room, a bedroom, one room that's kind of a bathroom right now because I don't really know what else to do with it. And then upstairs is, I have, oh, and then the other room on the main floor is a fish room / game room, which, for those of you listening, that's a reference to the game club at our college, because I miss it. And there's the room where all of the board games were stored and everything, we called the fish room. So I have this room in my Animal Crossing house where it has a bunch of my fish and bugs that I have decided to keep for myself, because they're like duplicates, ones I've already donated and were able to catch again and keep for myself. So that's in there, along with just kind of some miscellaneous items, and then a table in the center that has a board game on it, a book, I think a radio, and a squid model.
Squid.
Yeah. I had the little fish dude. The otter, I think he is. Get it for me.
Speaking of board games, I forgot that the Direct also announced that one 51 game board game thing. There's more less board games and more like.
So first, let me
tabletop games.
Talk about my house. Sorry. On the top floor of my house, I am making a little tiny cafe. The only downside is I have no counters for it right now. Like, I have a couple of tables with chairs and like a fridge, a brick oven, and a sink, but I don't have counters to put the other stuff on, so there's just like a rice cooker and toaster on the floor.
The ideal situation.
Yeah, what a beautiful cafe to walk into where all of the stuff they use to make your food is on the floor. And then my basement, I want to kind of replicate what I was doing in New Leaf, where I want to make a little basement club. it's just like a little dance club that I'll make in my basement eventually if I can get the right stuff. If not, I don't know what I'm going to do with the basement, honestly. I'll figure something out, I guess. But yeah, I remember that from the Direct as well, the little board game thing. I didn't really, I'll be honest, when I watched the Direct, I kind of just, since I watched it after it had already gone live, I just kind of skimmed through to find the stuff that interested me. So I like saw part of that announcement and I was like, that's interesting. But not really my cup of tea. I'm like, I don't really need board games on my Switch. The only one I think I would actually consider getting would be Settlers of Catan, because I think you can play that online with people, and you know, it's I think it's a little cheaper and takes up less space than actual Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, I thought it was really pretty interesting, that whole collection.
Yeah, it's a good option for people to have, honestly, because especially when it's like a family console, because for me, obviously that's not going to appeal to me, as like I am basically the only person who plays on my Switch outside of sometimes when I play party games with my friends. But that would be a good thing for like a family game night type of thing, or I guess like maybe other college kids would like it. But I know like my group of friends, we would be the type of people that we'd just be like, let's just play an actual board game, because a lot of us have actual board games. Like, I have the Mario Kart Monopoly Gamer, and I have Sorry, the board game, and I would much rather just play those physical board games than get digital versions of them on the Nintendo Switch. But I do see the appeal that it has to other people, and also the appeal it would have in, like, you know, people who may not have the funds to actually get a lot of board games or the space to store them, because board games are something that are kind of hard to store when you start to get more than, like, two or three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Zach? I've kind of just been, like, rambling on for what feels like 15 minutes.
Not really. I got my friend to get into Monster Hunter World Iceborne. I've been playing with him a lot.
Nice.
Me and him and my other friend that I play with a lot all fought the new monster. And the friend that I, like, encouraged to start playing it hates him with all of his being. The new monster, so that's pretty entertaining.
Amazing.
It's even better because that monster is like, it has some of the best equipment in the game, both armor wise and weapon wise. So he, like, you should farm him and, like, hunt him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been really fun. I've been doing that and homework in Borderlands 3 as well. So
nice. I've pretty much been exclusively playing Animal Crossing. I mean, I have. Just remembered another thing from the Direct. I kind of am slowly getting back into Ring Fit Adventure because they added free updates to that game.
Oh, yeah.
The jogging mode is very nice. And the rhythm game mode is kind of fun, but some of it is a little weird in how it senses your movements. But I like that they added more stuff to it. That's very fun and nice. Because especially in, you know, times like these where we all got to stay inside, like, Ring Fit is a very good way to just get up and get moving, because all you need is, like, you need to set up your Switch on the dock and give yourself a little bit of room to be able to do the exercises, and you really don't need a lot. Like, I have a pretty small bedroom, and I'm able to play Ring Fit pretty comfortably in my bedroom, just having it set up in here.
Yeah, the updates look pretty nice, because you don't have to worry about, like, doing combat and stuff, I guess. Yeah. Like, it's just for, like, a jog, if that makes sense. Yeah,
and it's definitely, like, there's, when I started it, because since I've kind of, I haven't been playing it as much, like, I fell out of a routine of playing it every day, I feel like that's something that can really help get back into it, is being able to do those jogs and have them be part of, you can have them be part of the custom routine. So, like, one of the custom routines I've made now is it starts out with a jog, has various exercises within it, and then it ends with another jog. And they also added to, now you can have up to 25 custom workouts set on the game. So that's really nice for people who, like, want to diversify their workout routines and, like, have different things they do on different days. Because before, yeah, I think you could only have 3 custom workouts on it, but now you can have up to 25, I think, and that's so nice.
Yeah, it's a good update.
Yeah. Alright. Well, I guess that is it for this episode. Hopefully it's not too weird to listen to. I know it's gonna be, like, different from how we usually sound, but, you know, it's still something, and we still get to sit and talk about video games.
Yep.
And then I gotta say thank you all so much for listening, and hope you're all doing well, staying inside, being safe. And, like, if you have to go to work and stuff, hopefully everything's going well for you. And if you're not already, you lovely listeners, make sure you are following us on Facebook and Twitter at Nerd Talk Squad, which is where we post, I post updates to the podcast and then the show, and, you know, a way for you guys to communicate with us. And yeah, share this with your friends. Maybe listen to it with a friend. Listen to it while you're working on something. We've got other older episodes where we talk about other games and kind of just ramble on as well. So, you know, there's a handful of content for you to have while you're doing other stuff in your house.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But yeah, and then I think the next episode we'll put out will be, like, another couple weeks. I'm not exactly sure.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. We'll get it figured out. We'll update ya. But yeah. Yes. I think I addressed everything I needed to. I'm trying to remember it all. It feels like we haven't done a podcast in so long, even though it was fairly recent
when it's we, like, did 2 weeks, last, I think, right?
Yeah. Like, it wasn't really that long ago, but I think just this format is also different. So it's a little bit of trial and error, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah.
Once again, thank you all so much for listening. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nerd Talk Squad. Share it with your friends, your family. And also be safe, have fun. Play video games if you have nothing else to do, I guess. And anything else you want to say, Zach?
Not really. Stay safe and social distance. Yes. Video games help with that.
Time for you introverts to thrive.
I'm thriving.
I know. All right. That's it for this episode. This has been Nerd Talk Plus. My name is Paige.
My name is Zach.
And we'll see you somewhere on the internet.
Nerd Talk Plus.